good afternoon on July the 5th, 2020. I hope that you've had a good Lord's Day this Sunday morning. I hope you've had a good week. I hope you had a good celebration for living in the greatest land in the world, in America, on our 4th July weekend. Tonight I want to talk about something totally different than what we've been experiencing on the 4th July and this celebration. Subject called patience. Patience. You ever thought about how much our lives would benefit if we had the power of patience in our hands, in our hearts, in our lives, in our experience? Are you a patient person? If you had to score yourself 1 to 10, how patient would you consider yourself? It's interesting to take those thoughts every once in a while. See, we always cheat when we score ourselves, but in reality, a patient person. I told my wife, I think I'm about a 7, and she just laughed out loud. So I just ask you to think about it. And if you really want to check, ask your mate or ask your children, and they'll fill you in the blanks, all right? But being patient, it's so important. I want you to understand this. Our society that I've experienced speeds up every year. It's getting faster and faster. I hate to tell you this, but I replaced my microwave last week. You know why? I wanted 2-minute popcorn instead of 4-minute popcorn. Man, 4 minutes is just too long for popcorn. I remember 4 minutes was the best thing in the world. But see, it just keeps getting faster and faster and faster. Think about all of our technology, all our computers and phones. How many we have just give up and threw away because they just weren't fast enough. We always are moving faster and faster. And McDonald's, when they taught us, they're the one that broke the curve about how fast we can eat. Standing at McDonald's counter there for over 2 minutes ticks me off because I'm used to doing about a minute. And all those things, it's just patience is being challenged because our world is speeding up all so quickly. Medically, this is an impatient generation. You can have a gallbladder surgery today and home tomorrow. I remember gallbladder was a major deal a week in the hospital with my mother years ago. Bypass surgery, 3 days. Things go well, you're home. That's the goal, 3 days bypass. Drop-in surgeries is the way of the surgical centers today, to get them in and to get them out. And everything is just the technology and the experience. We're just moving faster and faster. The impatient factor has come to the house of God. We expect instant prayer. Man, we learn to move fast. We want everything to be fixed real quick. America has adopted the McChurch mentality. We drive in, we drive out. Millions are being served. Very few are being fed. We want to get it over with quick, but it's more than just serving the food. It's letting the people have a chance to digest the food. It's called discipling. It's all about hanging out, being a part of something. Well, preacher, what's the problem with a fast-paced church? Let me give you a quick answer, probably a simple answer. God's not in a hurry. God's not in a hurry at all. As a matter of fact, He teaches us from the very beginning about it all the way through about waiting upon the Lord. Now, I've been doing a series on faith, and a series on faith always energizes, encourages me, and it always helps me to be more practical in what I'm doing with my walk with God. But let me share this with you. You know why we need to wait upon the Lord? Because it takes faith to do that. It takes faith to just knowing He's going to do that in the power of His greatness and all of His ability. So as we continue to move faster and faster, God is not in a hurry. He teaches us continually through the Bible. Wait upon Him. Let me read it in James chapter 5, verse 11. It says, indeed, we count them blessed who endure. Now, we count them happy, that they're peaceful because they've endured. You have heard of the perseverance of Job, and seen to the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. James uses the example of waiting upon the Lord, of enduring, and he uses Job as the example. Job is the best example. Whenever we talk about patience, Job usually comes up in the middle of it because you're talking about patience. Job went through the storm of life. You know, I've been through a lot of sadness. I've been around people with sadness. But I have never met anybody who went through what Job went through. Man, I'll tell you what, Job went through it, and he maintained his walk. He maintained it in a very special way. So I encourage you to understand this. all the way through the scriptures, God instructs us to be patient, to wait upon him. In Psalms 27, I want to read to you as he talks about being patient for the Lord and working our lives. In verse 14, let me get the right page here. My pages are sticking together today. I'll get that in just a second. Psalm chapter 14. Yeah, I'll get that. Hang on a second. The Bible says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know, I love the Lord, and I know that I don't even get to comprehend how much he loves me. But I just wish he'd let me know ahead of time. I'm on a need-to-know basis with God. I always want to know how this is going to end up. And God said, just trust me. Wait upon me. I'll show you great and marvelous things you don't know anything about. And so in Job, he says, and so just wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. In other words, be strong. Just keep waiting. Be strong. And you shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So in Psalms chapter 27, he continues to teach us to wait upon the Lord in a very special way. Let me read a verse in Psalms. I just went through and picked out some verses that I had written on my Bible about waiting on the Lord, and I wrote them down, and I want to share some of them with you. In Psalms chapter 37, he begins to speak to us in waiting on the Lord also. In verse 7, he says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because the man who brings a wicked scheme to pass. He said, just do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because the man who brings wicked scheme to his pass, but rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. You know, waiting on God is something that I've learned as a part of my life. It's important to us. As fast as America is moving, our world is changing, I believe God just says, slow down. Wait upon me. I got some things that I want to help you with to understand how you can bless your life in a very special way. In Psalms chapter 62, I want to read to you about when he speaks about waiting upon the Lord and how he begins a blessing in our lives. In Psalms chapter 62, he speaks to us in verse 1. He says, truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He is my rock and my strength. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. And so he just says, learn to wait upon him. He will give us rest. In verse 5, my soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectations is from him. He is my rock. He is my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my strength and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. My soul waits silently for God alone. And so he continues to illustrate to us all that needs to be done, wait upon God. In a fast-paced world where faith is demanded of God to wait upon him, that he could show us things. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 is the key verse. He that waits upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Those who just can learn to wait upon God, can trust God through the storms of our life. I know when I have a storm in my life, the first thing I wanted for it to end. I want the storm to go away. And I have a hard time in the middle of a storm of my life waiting for God to make a move that would bring glory to who he is in my life. Especially when I'm so fine-tuned in everything else in my life that I have to wait on, I get rid of it and fix it and get something faster. But you can't fix God. He's right on time. His timing and my timing just doesn't match. But his timing's always better than mine and better than yours. So we wait upon him. In Romans 8, 24 and 25. But if we hope for that, we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. If we hope for something, but we can't see it, then we just wait for it because God will send it our ways. And so he wants us to understand how patience works in our life. I believe it is a, a self-centered humanistic society, and Satan drives us to get faster and faster and almost try to run away from God's principles of trusting Him into our lives. Let's wait. Unless we see the experience of God, we will learn what He does in the storms of our life. You know, the footprints in the sand, we know that's illustration how God was carrying us the whole time. And He's always been with us. And so learning to wait upon God is the key. Now, James refers to Job. Let me go to the book of Job and just take a few verses out of that. Helps us to learn how to just slow down and take a breath. Wait on the Lord. I come to the conclusion in my ministry, well, if you've known this, but I kind of push pretty fast. I've kind of pushed pretty hard. I had a preacher tell me one time, he was a good old senior fellow who I loved and respected. He says, Ron, I've learned this in ministry. You never get in trouble waiting. You get in trouble by going too fast. And so I rehearse that a lot. I can see his face when he tells me that, out of the passion of his heart. He was a seasoned pastor. He was that pastor at my age at that season that was probably a little pushing too fast. He said, Ron, just learn to wait. See, when you wait on God, then you'll know. When you wait on God, He will be your answer. When you wait upon God, it's bigger than you think. It's better than you realize. The biggest storm that our family's been in recently is the storm of our daughter with cancer. I don't know about you, but when you're diagnosed with cancer, I pray that God would end this pretty quick. I pray that this would just go away pretty quick. But when the diagnosis came and we learned that she was going to take chemo for 15 months, that wasn't very quick at all. Matter of fact, that was probably longer than normal, than what I thought normal was. But now I'm on the other side of that. And you know what? Man, when we waited on that, it was the greatest days in our life. Man, when we seen how God worked all the way through all of us in that, when we seen how God took our families and made it bigger and stronger and more secure and more loving and more timeful for each other, those 15 months turned out to be the blessing of my days. And I wanted them to go away so fast. And so, learning to wait upon Him. Let me give you some principles we learned from Job. How he could be that man that learned to wait. First of all, he was a man in verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright and one who feared God and eschewed evil. Now, he gives us a little bit of history about Job. He says he feared the Lord. That means to fear the Lord means a respect of reverence for God. Let me share this with you. Fear is something that God gives us. It enables us. It should never control us. And so when we talk about fearing God in the scriptures is a respect for God. It's an awe for God. And people that don't have a respect and an awe for God has nothing to know about God. And so Job was a person who brought a fear. He understood. He reverenced God. God was King of Kings of his life in this era. And so he tells us, first of all, that he feared the Lord. He had a respect and reverence for God. Let me ask you a question. How much reverence do you have for God? How much do you put Him first in your life? Those are good questions. Job did. He eschewed evil. He avoided evil. Man, he stood against evil. Those are the things that fear God and avoid evil. In Psalm 97:10 says, ye that love the Lord will hate evil. Ye that love the Lord will hate evil. You understand there's an evil out there to destroy us. I hate what evil does. He that love the Lord understands that. If you understand evil, evil always speeds us up. Evil takes us to bright lights and fast lane and greed and all the thing is running wrong and trying to get ahead, trying to get front of the line. Evil sometimes is a destruction that pushes us to the speed we don't need to have. Job was a praying father. He respected God. He reverenced God. He stood against evil. And he was a God who knew how to pray. In verse 5. So it was that the days of fasting had run their course, that Job would sin and sanctify them, and would raise up early in the morning and burn offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned, cursed God in their hearts." Thus Job did regularly. Job was a man who prayed and offered sacrifices. You know, Job says, "Maybe my sons have made a mistake. Maybe my sons have broke the law." But my father raised us. He didn't have to wonder if we did. He just knew that we did. We were just boys that run wild. But see, Job as a father prayed for his sons, prayed for his family. He offered up burnt offerings for them regularly, for them to find the newness and the repentance of God in their lives. Job was a praying father. Slow down and understand all the comments it has. Let me share this with you. You take your scariest moment in your life, and the scariest moment sometimes will make you want to run or make you want to do something very quick to get past it in scary moments. I would encourage you, when you're scared, learn to pray. Man, there's something about talking to the Father in heaven that will calm us down in the middle of a storm. There's something in the middle of a storm when we be able to speak to God and His Spirit and our spirit join together, just like Job did, continually, regularly. He never missed his sacrifices. He made offering of extra sacrifices for his family because he was a praying man, and God blessed him in a special time. Now, all that God does in our lives, most fathers today in our journey, they pursue power and profits instead of prayer. That they would rather be pushing hard and having those profits of their life. You know, I always look back at my life. I'm in that season in my life where I can't look back. I wonder how much better it'd been if I'd have prayed more. I wonder how much better it'd been if I wasn't pushing so hard, trying to get ahead. Wait upon God. Most of the mistakes I made in my life is because I was trying to fix me or get ahead of something instead of waiting on God. God's plans are perfect. Sometimes I feel like I can do it and I need to pray. I just want to take you to Psalm 61. And I just read this verse this week, and I was reading my Bible devotion, and it led me to this. In Psalm 61, it says, "Hear my cry, O Lord, attend to my prayer. For the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Lord, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That rock is Jesus. You know, I had a little conversation with staff today about helping people to discern things about life. And it talked about people who are always trying to figure out how to get ahead without God. You know, what do you do? One of my staff was talking about, what do I do? Well, I pray and I seek God. And he says, well, what else is there out there? You know, what else can I do besides that? There's got to be a way to fix this besides God. Well, according to the scriptures, there isn't. According to scriptures, when you build your house upon the rock, the storms will blow, but you'll stand because it's on the rock. And it goes this way. If you build your house on the sand, I don't care what you do or who you know, you're going to fall. So see, when you can learn to pray to God, He will take you to the rock and you will stand in your storm. You know, James says, count it joy as you go through the storm, because going through that storm purifies you, brings the best out of you. It brings your faith back to God. And so the further we go and the faster we go, we sometimes can break those principles. There's nothing greater in your life, nothing, than prayer. Talking to the Father, seeking counsel from the Father, pouring out your heart to the Father, crying to God in the despair of your life brings dividends. It takes you back to the rock. I was in a slippery slope, and God settled me back to the rock. Now, Job had a big problem. I want to read about his big problem in a few moments. And, you know, everybody says Job was the patient man. He had to go through a lot. And you probably wouldn't want to go through what Job went through. But he learned to wait upon God. You know, God and Satan was having a little conversation. And I'm sure the conversation is going, says, Job, and the devil hated Job. And the reason why the devil hated Job, because Job prayed to God. Job loved the Father. Job, he offered sacrifices for his family all the time for God's blessings in life. He has faith in God, and the devil hated him. And the devil made this statement. And you've probably made this statement. You probably thought these thoughts. Well, the only reason why Job follows you because you blessed him so much. He's got the best family. He's got the biggest house. He's got the greatest things. Who wouldn't follow you if you gave him all of that? So see, the old devil thought it was all cynical for Job. The only reason he followed God is because of all the stuff he had. Let me tell you why Job followed God. He loved him, plus nothing. And out of that love for God, God just blessed Job in a very special way. But see, the devil didn't believe that. The devil believed the only reason Job was a great man because God just prospered him. And God says, hey, I'll tell you what, I can prove that's not so, devil. He says, well, how can you prove that? Well, you just go and take everything from him but his life. And you'll see he loves me more than the stuff. He loves me more than his children. He loves me. I'm his Savior. I'm his rock. And so in verse 8, so Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? Have you not blessed the works of his hands, his possessions, have increased the land? Haven't you done all that for Job? That's the reason why Job loves you, God. Because you gave him so much. God says, that's not so. He says, but now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. Man. That was quite a challenge. He said, I can prove you, God, that I know Job, the devil's saying, just take all that from him. He'll turn against you. And I have to answer myself. If I lost everything, would my God still be big? If I lost all of my children, would my life still be big with God? If I lost everything, could I still walk with him? That's a good question. But God knew Job. He was a righteous man. He was one who feared and respected God. He was the one who prayed and sacrificed to God. And through the blessings of Christ, he experienced his love. So the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. What happened? God said, sick him. Go get him. And you'll find out there's more to Job than you know, devil. Job has a love in his heart for me that you can't take. And so he allowed Satan to go to work on Job's family. The story's phenomenal. All the things it has had. Now let me just share this with you. Troubles refine us. Troubles will make us stronger. Two things happen in troubles. Troubles either make us better or bitter. I know a lot of bitter people, and you know a lot of bitter people, and they can go back to their troubles for their bitterness. They can go back to what happened or who did this or what happened and all the storms in their life. See, troubles are made to mature us. To treat us to come out as gold in the end, to be waiting on the Lord. Now, you're either better because of the storm you've been through, or you're bitter. And here's a problem with being bitter. Now, pay close attention to this. A bitter person, everybody in the room knows they're bitter but them. They don't even realize they're bitter. They don't even realize how the storms of life have made them hard and cynical and self-centered. Job could have been a hard, self-centered man in all this because as you read the book of Job and all the devil did to him, it was phenomenal. He first of all lost everything in his 401k. He lost all his retirement. He lost all of his house. He lost all of his influence. And then he lost his family. Can you imagine coming home and somebody tell you that all your children have died? They just died, gone. All at once. I don't know if I could do this like Job did. But you know the reason why Job did this? He He learned to wait on God. He learned to trust God. Job was a man who could be blessed because not what he had. He was blessed because who had him? It was God himself. He was a child of the king. Problems are designed to slow us down and make us reboot, make us rethink. And in your rebooting, in your rethinking, think about God. Pray to God. Trust God. And that slowing down brings you closer to God. How in the world can I be close to God when I'm running 100 miles an hour? How can I be close to God when I'm on my own? Because on my own, I'm going too fast. So I want to be blessed. James says, just count it a joy. Now, how in the world can, James says, when you're scattered abroad and everybody's left you and you left all your, how in the world can you count it a joy? Joy isn't an emotion. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit. Peace, love, joy. What's that worth to you? He said, just count it a joy because that fruit of the Spirit is going to perfect you in all it's about to do. Problems are designed to slow us down, teach us to wait upon the Lord. Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Here's what Job said. He was like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I don't care what you say about God. If I die, I die, but he's still God in this furnace. He's still God. Job says in chapter 13, though you slay me, yet will I trust in him. Job had four friends, Eliphaz, Elihu, Bildad, and Zophar. He had four buddies that I'm glad I don't have four buddies like. Every night they got together the campfire, and Job would tell them all things that happened to him, and they said, hey, Job, you need to give up this God stuff. Elihu and Eliphaz, they just jumped on him, man, and Bildad and Zophar. And Job, he'd argue with them. He said, man, not my God. I will not give up. You know, Job's wife didn't take this quite so good. Job's wife was just saying, Job, we got a problem here. It's not working out, Job. Kind of a nagging wife. But Job let nobody sway him. Nobody. He still was trusting God with all of the funerals he went to, all the crises he went to. He says, though they slay me, yet I will trust in him. The devil was now learning there's a love that he has for God that the devil knows nothing about. In 23:10, Job, but he that knoweth the way that I take, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job says, he that knows the way with God, whenever he is tried or tested, he'll come forth as gold. Now, you know, there's a 10 karat gold, there's 14 karat gold, 18 karat. You know, gold is, the 18 karat's more expensive. You know why it's more expensive? Because the heat is hotter. It takes all the elements out of it. It becomes pure at 18. And so if you want to be 18 karat gold, you got to go through a hotter fire than 14 karat or 10 karat. And I believe Job came out of this thing 18 karat. I believe he was the hottest fire he could be in. I believe it was the biggest storm he had. But he says, I'm not concerned. I'm going to come forth like gold. I think Job had read early in Revelations the streets of gold in heaven. He's going to walk on it up there one day. But see, Job learned he lost his possessions. He lost his children. The boils on Job's body, the suffering that Job went through physically. I had a boil one time. And I had to go to the doctor, and I cried just because he was going to touch it. I mean, there's nothing like a boil that can create you into one storm. And Job's body was boils from top to bottom. But Job said, I'm still going to come forth as gold. There's gold somewhere out there. You know what he was doing? He wasn't in a hurry. He was waiting for God to perfect it. See, in Job chapter 1, when it says that he was a man who feared God. He was a man who lived blameless. Let me share this with you. Job wasn't perfect, but he was a cut above. He was a cut above, just like Noah. Noah wasn't a perfect man compared to God, but he was way of a cut above than the average man. And he said he walked in that with God. And there was this love relationship between God and Job that was phenomenal. You know, I want to tell you something. God's a jealous God. I preached last Sunday about a one-sided love affair. And it doesn't work in marriage. It doesn't work with family. It doesn't work with children. It doesn't work with God. And when God loves us, no performance needed. But whenever I can love him back with everything I have, that must be a blessing to him. To know there's a servant down there, Job, that held through everything it had at him, but I was stronger than his problems. I was bigger than his fears. I strengthened in his pain. Man, God had to just say, that's one of my children that I've loved all my life. And the best part of the story, it was a two-sided love. God gave a lot to Job, and Job gave a lot to God. And the devil wanted to break that up like he wants to break up your relationship with God. He can offer you the gold. He can offer you double time on Sundays. He can offer you all kinds of lucrative deals that maybe not be above board, how to get ahead, but just wait on God. You know, in premarital counseling, the biggest problem a young adult will be money. Man, because see, when we grew up, we didn't have a new house. We didn't have things. But see, my parents, after 30, 40 years, was able to buy their first house and get things. Today, everybody wants to get married with a new house starting off with. So they get way ahead of the game. They get in debt. They get in debt. They don't wait upon God. They just charge it. Then here comes the money pressures. And I just tell them in premarital counseling, if you be patient and work hard and balance your finances openly without being a slave to a lender, without selling out way too quick, your relationship will go better, but you got to trust God with your money. It says right on your dollar, in God we trust. You know, you think that's coincidence that in God we trust? That's back when God was big in America. We knew how big he was. We even put it on the dollar. Today, I don't believe we could ever put that. I believe if we took a vote today in America, I believe we would lose that. I believe they'd take it off the dollar. But thank God it's on there. Because, see, money is a big pressure problem in your life. And gold is what Job says I'll come out like. So be careful with it. Be patient in building your wealth. Be patient in building your family. Don't start out with everything new and wonder what went wrong. You got ahead of the game. I need to teach you a couple series on money. But whenever you go down to the bank and you sign your name on a loan for a new car, you know you gamble on your health? You know you do that? What happens if you get sick? What happens if you can't go to work? What happens if they lay you off? What happens if there's a pandemic and they literally come? Do you know you're a slave to the lender and the lender can take it back from you and break your heart? Be careful with debt. Job was blessed by God. It was all paid for. He lost it all, but it was all paid for. He was a man of God. Now, I want to close with this. Be careful. He lost everything. But remember this. God can give it back to you so many different ways. In Job chapter 42, I want to read to you. At the end of the life of Job, when it was all over said and done, I want you to see how God blessed Job. Now, here's a situation I want you to get a hold of. See, when I look at my life at a parade, say I'm standing at a parade, I see one float at a time. That's all I can see is one float at a time. If I got up on top of a big building, I could see the whole parade at once. You know what God sees in Ron Davis? He sees my whole life at once. He don't watch me one parade at a time. One float at a time. He sees all about me. He knew that Job was young and Job was blessed and Job lost, but he knew Job in the end would win. Do you know that? Do you know with God you can't lose, even in a graveyard, even in a hospital room, even at a funeral home? Do you know that God is with you through that? That he wants to bless us in all he does in our lives as he begins to do a great work in our lives? It says, now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job. He lost everything. more than his beginning. He ended up with more than he had. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. Also, he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He's back to his children again. He's got wonderful children, wonderful assets. In verse 15, in all the land were found no woman as beautiful as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them an inheritance among their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw the children and grandchildren for 4 generations. So Job died old and full of days. Wow! He died old and full of days. See, I want to tell you something. If you lose your possessions in this world, God can give it back. If you lose children in this world, God can give it back. If you lose a relationship, God can replace it. I want you to see the storms of our life aren't fair. The storms of our life are painful. But if you can wait upon God, if you can just trust God, and let me share this with you as I close. If you can't trust God in your storms, what good is He in your sunshine? What good is He when things are going well? The best part I know about my God is in the toughest days, He's the biggest and the best. Job ended up with twice as much. Can you say that you would like to have that patience? And you know what did it for Job? He waited upon the Lord. He didn't get in a hurry. He didn't curse God. He didn't walk away from God. Even if I die, I'm still better off with God. May your patience be thought about. May your prayer life help you. And may you walk by faith, because hurry will get you out of faith every time. God bless you. I pray this week will be a blessing for you as we begin the second half of our year 2020. Aren't you glad the first half is over? Aren't you glad that thing is hopefully getting done with? Who would have thought that we went through all we went through in America? Let's be patient. God has plans to bless us and bless America. And don't ever forget it. Wait on Him. Gold's coming our way as God sees it. God bless you. Have a great week. Let me leave with a closing prayer. Father, help me to slow down. Help me never get so fast I forget that You're there all the time. Let me wait on You. Father, I've learned the waiting just pays off so much, makes life so much easier. Help us to teach it to all of us. And Father, may we wait upon You, and You show us great and marvelous things while we're running, and even while we're walking, You're going to bless our steps. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.